Amen. That song is just so moving. Hope you can turn in your Bibles with me. If you don't have a Bible, you know what? You can go on your phone. BibleGateway.com has like access to a bunch of Bible translations. Because today is Old School Sunday. I don't know. Was that not in the bulletin last week? This is Old School Sunday, like no PowerPoint. Like, I know it's crazy to think that at one point in time, people used to preach without PowerPoints. Today is Old School Sunday. So 1 Thessalonians, we're actually going to look at the Bible. Like, I'm only using the Bible. And, you know, if you're a visual learner, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I'm saying? I love you, and you'll just have to forgive me. And but we're still going to keep our series going, life-giving relationships. We're still sticking with that. And last week, if you remember, Tom was just giving us the great word of God, right? Reminding us about what it means to, you know, warn and admonish and how helpful that is in the church, right? We need that. We need people willing to place or put the word of God to our minds sometimes because we get a little sideways, life gets a little crazy, and we need those people that love us enough to place the word of God to our minds so that it helps kind of recalibrate us so that we can live for God. And he used that Greek term, nouthateo, that's in the scripture all over the place. And that's where we were last week, you know, and he reminded us about encouragement too, right? You know, you don't just admonish, but you encourage to walk alongside somebody, to be there for somebody. Such a helpful message. And if you didn't catch it, please check it out on our website and look at Tom's message from last Sunday. We're going to keep that going. And so we're still in 1 Thessalonians 5 and still even in the same verse, but we're going to focus on a different part of it. And I hope, my hope is that you will be encouraged and inspired to be able to have the privilege of living these passages out. That's really the heart. I hope it comes across. 1 Thessalonians verse 5, and now I got my glasses, now I know what verse I'm at and everything, which is awesome. We'll start in verse 14, and we'll move around the chapter, but. And we urge you, brothers, and guys, when it says brothers, okay, he's not meaning the only people that this applies to are men, okay? Let's just deal with that. That's not the spirit of the scripture, okay? So he's including everybody within the listening ear of this letter, women included. So sometimes I might say people or brothers and sisters, I ain't adding to the Bible. I'm just trying to make it happen. You know what I'm saying? Don't, you know? Okay. So verse 14, and we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the who? That sound familiar? Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Yeah, exactly. You're like, whoa, that's a high calling. This is what we're going to focus on in the time that we have today. Helping the weak and being patient with everyone. This word help, it seems like help. Simple word, right, in English. Man, but the heart of this word, it loses something in translation in the English, quite honestly. Because this word combines words together. And it combines the word to cling to or to hold tightly. Right? So that's what you're doing. It's to hold something to. To is one word, and hold tightly. So you're holding tightly to the weak person. This same word is used another time in the Bible when Jesus says, hey man, you got to watch out. You got to watch out with money because you can't serve both money and God because you'll end up loving one and being loyal to one and hating the other. And that word loyal, same word here. So it has this meaning of this loyalty. You hold on to them. You fix your gaze on them. You're attentive to their needs. And you're eager to offer them help. That's what this word really is getting at. And we kind of lose a little bit in the translation. And so that's the spirit. And isn't it a joy to be in the church? Because in the church, this is what we do when people that are weak. Because when people that are weak in the world, man, sometimes you just look down on them. Or you want to tell them, well, see, the reason why you're weak is you made these four bad choices. And that's really why you're, you know, in that situation. You know, if you'd made better choices, you'd probably be in a better situation. You know, you really need to Let me quote some statistics to you. That, see, luckily we don't have to live like that. We actually hold tightly. We gaze. We care. We're attentive. And this word weak, what does it mean? It combines two things too. It combines without or not with another word, strength or ability. So it's like without strength, without the ability. So the people that lack strength or have none or lack that ability, what are we to do? Not point fingers at them, but hold them closer. And you stay with them until they get strong. And guess what? It might take some of your strength out of you. But that's all right. Because God has us, right? And God will provide. But that's the beauty of being in the church, is that we help the weak. We don't look down on them. And then we're patient with everyone, right? And this word patient, it's one that is challenging to us because you know what it really means? It means to suffer long with somebody. We don't like that word long when it's attached to suffering. No, we don't like that. We would much rather like short suffering or no suffering. Without suffering would be really great, right? That's, we like that. Why didn't they combine without with suffering? No, long suffering. What is that really getting at? What that gets at, it's like you're slow to retaliate. You have it in you. You could avenge yourself, but you restrain yourself. Similar words are mercy, clemency, tolerance. That's what patience is. It takes you a long time to get to a place where you would even want to retaliate or anything like that. Wow, that's who we get to be. This is our calling. This is what our relationships are. And when we are this way, we are in life-giving relationships. And this is what the world so lacks. They lack it, and they have no means to get it. They are without the ability to conjure it up just on their own. But so are we, if we're honest. So are we, if we're honest. And so, helping the weak. That word weak, we read it earlier with Jesus, same word. Wow, so Jesus experienced something without something. While we were still powerless, same word. While you were without the ability to help yourself, without the strength to do it. That's the word that we're dealing with. And we've all been in those places, I tell you. I mean, think of your own life. You know, Matt was reminding me, like, man, in life, we've all been in that place where we felt like we don't have the strength, you know? We just don't have the ability. We just don't have it, you know? And I've seen it in you. And one of the guys I remind, Mike Brown is one of these guys. If you're weak or struggling, Mike Brown probably be the first one at your doorstep, willing to do whatever. I love guys like that. He just inspires the tar out of him. And you know what? You'll never know. He'll never know it, but he's there. Help him. You know, I honestly think about my wife over the years helping so many young women, you know, younger women that would kind of, sometimes they come to church and they would just like, she's a magnet, right? You know, and Chrissy just focusing in on them. That intense gaze, that I'm going to stick with you and help. She's helped so many young women come to faith over the years because she's seen their weakness and she knows what that weakness feels like. Because she experienced it herself, and instead of looking down on them and telling them what their problem is, she stays with them. And I've seen it happen over time, and it's beautiful and it's powerful. And I love how even you as a church, we've recently just even come together helping somebody whose house burned down. It's like, we just, hey, let's help. Let's stay and stay with her. You need help filing the claim? Okay, let's stay with you. It's not a one-time thing. That's what we do. That's who we are. And it's exciting and it's inspiring. And that's why I love Christ's church. And I love it when we exhibit these qualities to one another because it makes a difference in people's lives. You've been helped at one point in your life too. Not just one point, many points, right? And we could all talk for hours about it. But that's the what. Okay, help the weak. Okay, Jeff, be patient. Okay, it's hard. But why would we do stuff like that? Okay, well, the cool thing is the text tells us earlier. I think this is good stuff. All right, you ready? Let's go back to the earlier part of chapter 5. Okay, for time's sake, I'm going to start in verse 5. It says, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day." This is the why behind why we do what we do. We help the weak and we're patient because, you know, we're sons of daughters of the light and the day. And we do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. You got to remember where you're coming from. Every time you walk out your house, you're a child of the light. You do not belong to the darkness. It has no power over you if you don't give it to them. So then, let us not be like the others, right? Because they are what? Asleep. But let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, man, they sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. You know what we need to do? We need to put on faith and love as a breastplate and hope and the hope of salvation as a helmet. I want to stop there. This is a great passage because to me it's like it's making this point. It's like we can be about the light, we can be about the day, or we can be about the night, or we can be about the darkness. And when you're about the darkness, you know what? To this world, you're sleeping. You don't care about what's going on in a lot of ways. You don't think God's going to do anything. You don't think God's coming back. You're just like, what? You know, life is life. You know, you're just doing your thing. Consequences, I'm just going to do my thing. And the Bible calls you in the darkness. You can't even see, man. You're sleeping. You're asleep. And he's like, let us not be that way because we know the big picture. We know what the scriptures teach. Jesus is going to come back and make all this stuff right because we can't do it. We can't rely on any institution, earth made, anything man made, doesn't have the wisdom or the wherewithal or the strength or the power to change what needs to be changed. It can't happen, but he can. And he will, and that's who we are. We're children of that worldview. So we're not asleep. We're alert. We're self-controlled. We put ourselves under the control of the Spirit. We don't put ourselves under the control of alcohol and stuff like that. That's what folks do at night who don't care. They just asleep. They don't believe in this junk, this religious stuff, but we've put all of our heart into this. So you know what? A breastplate and a helmet. You got to realize, guys, when you read these kind of words in the New Testament, you got to wake up to there's imagery going on. When we walk outside, when was the last time you saw a breastplate? Never. Okay? Never. A helmet? Yeah, football. Yeah. No, that's not what he's talking about. But if you were living here and you were a Christ follower in this part of the world, the Romans were running the show. And they are walking the streets. They're not just some secretive group. They are exerting their authority. You know who's running things. And they got the breastplate. They got the helmet. They got the sword. And do you know what that represents? We are running things. And the Romans, they were talking about peace and the Roman peace. Okay, well, how'd they get it? They got it with that sword. They got it with them breastplate and them helmets and them shields. That's how they took over the world. So you can get peace in that way, but you use strength and you try to kill people. And what Paul's saying, we don't live like that. We are children of God. If we don't put a breastplate on as if that's going to protect us. We don't, you know, we put on our allegiance in Jesus. And our belief in who he is. We put our faith, that's our breastplate, and love to lay our lives down for people. Even if it costs us our own life, that's what we do. That's how we live in this world. So we don't rely on the stuff that the rest of the world, they want to put a helmet on to protect you so you feel strong. Well, you know what needs you to protect you from the craziness of the world? To realize that the craziness of the world ain't going to get the last laugh. It's not. My hope in the, it's an expectation. It's not a, oh, I hope. No, it's a, oh, no, no, no. My hope is, oh, when he comes back, oh, it's going to be all right. And until then, I'm going to live the way my Father in heaven wants me to live. I get the privilege to live. And I don't need to rely on no sword or no breastplate to protect me in this world. My allegiance and my love are all in Jesus and in the plan that God has. And that is my security, nothing else. What a privilege to live in God's church. What a privilege it is to live this way. That's what the light is. Shouldn't have put my glasses down. Gotta keep reading. Here we go. I am without the ability to see without glasses. Here we go. Verse 9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word for wrath, it talks about a measured anger, not a fly off the handle stuff. You know, when we see the word wrath, we just get all these bad ideas. But hey, you know what? I'm tired of jacked up people running things sometimes. I want that stuff to be made right. I'm tired of good people getting swindled. I'm tired of bad things happening. And you, like I said, you and I, it's hard for us to figure that out. God, he gets angry at stuff too. His is measured. He's told us ahead of time, I'm going to deal with it. I just need my sons and daughters to live a certain way so people can actually see what it's like to live like I want people to live. And then they will be drawn and they will be rescued, because God doesn't appoint us to just suffer wrath. He's given us a way out, a way of deliverance through Jesus. So let's live like him. And that's what's so beautiful when we help each other. We help the weak instead of looking down on them. And we're patient with each other. Because Jesus died for us in verse 10. And this is what I love too. He died for us whether we are awake or asleep. Praise God. There's the gospel. You say, well, man, my friend, my neighbor, He's not right with, he's asleep, he's in the darkness. Okay, well, guess what? Christ died for him too. That's what the love of Jesus, I love it. We're not supposed to look down on somebody that's asleep. Don't be labeling people. You know what you're supposed to do? Help wake them up. Because he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage each other. Build each other up. Don't tear each other down, right? Build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And that's the cool thing. I think the same way about you. I would characterize you all more as the heart to help the weak. But let's keep encouraging each other to do that. But here's the deal. Helping the weak and being patient with people, that takes a lot of juice and life force out of you sometimes. It does. And if you're in a funky place, you might even kind of go there a little bit like, all right, Jeff, I appreciate this sermon, but man, it's like, okay, I got to help the weak. I got to warn somebody. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to live the way God wants me to live. Man, it's kind of tiring sometimes. I don't know if I can live up to it. I mean, what about me? Who's going to be there for me when I'm, you know, what if I'm weak? I'll help you out, because there's some help for you later on in the scripture too. All right, here we go. At the end, look at this. Verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. Sanctify is not a word we use a lot. I know. It's a religious word. I know. But just look at it this way. It's like God, it's like his spirit, like transforming us from within. It's like the hand of God chiseling us from within so that he can live through us, right? So that our whole being can be transformed to be more like him. That's something that we are without power to do on our own. We are without the strength to sanctify ourselves. That's only the work of God himself. May God himself sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because let me tell you something, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Jesus is going to come through. You, if you are weak, here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing. If you feel weak, you know a great course of action is to follow Jesus. Follow his example. Because when he was weak, what did he do? He told some people. That's why I hope our small groups are real. I wish that we could just have great small groups. And it sounds like we are, which is great. If we didn't have good small groups, we'd probably have 3 people in here this morning, right? And so, but in your small group, that's a great place to start. My soul is troubled. I'm sad. I'm discouraged. I'm fearful. Tell people in your life, give them a chance at least. Jesus did that. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow. And what did he say? What did he say? Remember? Keep watch with me. Does that sound familiar? Fix your gaze. Help me. Be attentive to me. One day I'll be stronger, but right now I just need you to stay alert with me. If Jesus did that, why wouldn't you? Just be open. Open up about your weakness. Give somebody else a chance to stick with you through it. That's what the church is about, guys. This should be a place where we should be free to share our weaknesses with each other instead of fearing that someone's going to look down on us. And I believe in you, church. And I believe we've learned a lot of lessons in the past where people have felt kind of put down or put in the hot seat and kind of jacked up, you know, publicly sometimes. Okay. But you know what? We're writing a new script. Amen. Let's have this heart and help the weak. Fix our gaze on those that are without strength and see them through. And after you've gotten with them three times, and my goodness, they haven't changed yet. I don't know what the problem is. Long suffering. Because one day, after you give and give and give, one day when it's your turn, you're going to want somebody to treat you that way. And if we can continue to do this well, we will build each other up. We will change the world one heart, one weak person at a time. And through it all, to God and to his Spirit be the glory and not to us. Because you and me are weak and without the ability to do it ourselves. So praise God. Let's pray. Father, we want to make you proud. We want to make a difference. Sometimes I think we got to, I don't know, just do something so public or something we got to post to get a million likes on it or something, and as if that's the only way. But God, just help us to do your will even when it hurts. And help us to love people the way you would love them, patiently and helping people that are struggling. God, help this church to be a place where people can struggle and not feel ashamed, but feel built up and feel taken care of and seen through to the other side. And may we always have the heart to do that for somebody else. Please, Lord, we can't do it without you. May your Spirit fall fresh upon us. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.